thank you for downloading the Three Beards Soccer Podcast, a Baltimore-based soccer show focused on the English Premier League and the footballing world. Please follow us on Facebook and on Twitter, username at Three Beards Pod.
Match week three. I am Tom Miller on the Three Beards Soccer Podcast here with my co-host Ken Lee. How are we doing this week, Ken?
Depressed.
Sorry to hear that, Ken. And Tyler's behind the glass. How are we doing, Tyler?
Still floating in the balloon I was floating in last week.
Yeah, I hate your balloons, Tyler, but we'll accept it. Interesting week this week in the Premier League. We had a lot of interesting, storylines. The results were pretty interesting, too. Off topic, Ken, did you watch the McGregor versus Mayweather fight?
Of course I did.
I know you're a big McGregor guy. What'd you think?
Big McGregor fan. I wouldn't have missed it.
Even at midnight with the amount of babies you have.
Yeah, it was. You have to make special circumstances require you to stay up late at night to watch what I felt was going to be the greatest sporting event in combat sports history, and it did not disappoint. Did you watch it?
I watched it. I don't know if it was the greatest combat sporting event ever, but it was much more interesting than I thought it would be.
Hey, Conor McGregor went in there. He didn't get embarrassed. He held his own for, a good couple of rounds. I mean, yeah. Little facts, like he did hit Mayweather more than Pacquiao hit Mayweather, and McGregor's only done it once. So,
yeah, his first ever fight. So,
pretty cool. No. I mean,
yeah,
boatload of cash. Woke up this morning, still the two-weight world champion in the UFC. Needs to bring trucks tomorrow to deliver all the money, and he wakes up still the champion. And Mayweather wakes up 50-0. They both win. We win because it was exciting. It was awesome. I loved it.
Yeah, like I said, a lot better than I thought it was. I thought McGregor would get pounded to the dirt, especially in the fourth or fifth round when he started to tire because their UFC fights are a lot shorter. But he hung in there, man. Even when he was getting pounded, he was still on his feet. And they called the fight. I thought they called the fight pretty quickly, but it was probably necessary.
I don't know anything really about boxing, but Tyler and I actually watched it together, and there was a boxing fan or two in the room. Mm-hmm. And apparently that's just how it goes. Like, boxing matches, they're called. It's not quick if it's a boxing. That's not quick for a boxing fight. That's like right on time. So,
So once the guy starts wobbling a little bit, they don't let him be pounded in the face.
Yeah, I guess not. I don't know. But, McGregor's now not in boxing right now, so I'm back to the UFC, and I'll probably never watch another boxing match again. So,
yeah, all right. Well, I thought it was interesting. We'll let that jump us into our first match of the week, which was Manchester City versus Bournemouth. Ken, anything you want to say about this besides in the beginning, Sergio Aguero did not start this match, and Gabriel Jesus did.
Well, that's Pep's boy, man. Jesus is going to start every game, I would imagine, unless he's injured, because, again, Pep brought him in. Pep sticks with his guys no matter what. I mean, there's not many teams in the world where Aguero is going to start on the bench more than he starts on the pitch, which I think is absurd and ridiculous.
Yeah, me too.
Maybe it speaks to the amount of money that they have, the amount of money they spent. More importantly, again, I think it speaks more to Pep has his guys, and Pep is going to go with his guys.
Yeah, I mean, and if you watch the game, Jesus did score, and it was a nicely taken goal, a better ball than a finish, but still a goal nonetheless. Besides that, though, City looked kind of devoid of ideas for most of this game, and the thing that really ticked, the thing that really ticked me off was the fact that they extended. I mean, yeah, that Bournemouth was getting
the beginning. I mean,
yeah, sure.
I mean, Bournemouth, I mean, in the very beginning, it was, yeah, I'll give it to you, it's back and forth.
Bournemouth hit a banger.
That Charlie Daniels goal. I mean, besides the sheer audacity for him to even try it, the fact that it went into the net, that was unbelievable, off of the crossbar.
Yeah.
Ridiculous goal. That'll have to be goal of the week. Maybe goal of the season. I mean, that's going to be a contender for sure.
Absolutely. From that tight angle, closer to the sideline than the middle of the pitch for sure, and outside the 18 on a volley.
Yeah, ridiculous. Yeah,
absolutely buried, and gave Bournemouth hope for a draw anyway.
But I thought after that, after Bournemouth scored that goal, maybe we're just going to have, we're going to disagree with this, but I thought it was completely Manchester City for the rest of the game. Honestly, I didn't really.
It was, but only in a way that where Bournemouth is playing Manchester City, and it looked to me like once Charlie Daniels scored, I was like, oh, they got a chance for a draw here. It's not like I thought Bournemouth was going to win the game, but I didn't think City there had any players that were going to take the game by the scruff of the neck. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't see that. I saw the kind of the games, frankly, they played like Manchester United did last year against Middlesbrough and Burnley, where they're just kind of putting the ball in and hoping. No real plan besides that.
I don't know, man. The Jesus goal, I mean, that was set up perfectly. I mean, by him taking the free kick quickly, pass it over to the still very shaved head, bald David Silva. And he runs down, makes that cutting run past the two defenders, past the line, and only the way David Silva could, he threads the needle past the defense and allows Jesus to basically, you know, tap that in around the goalie. I mean, I don't know. I thought it looked Man City all the time. Now, did it look like they were going to win 4-5-0? Absolutely not. But there was absolutely no way that they were going to leave that, you know, without at least a point. And again, to that, you're at Bournemouth away, and everyone knows how these mid-table teams play against the big boys. Like, if they can go up early, be up 1-0, dude, it might be a wrap for you.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking the whole time. I mean, the Gabriel Jesus goal was a terrific finish and an even better ball, like I said. At the same time, I don't think City showed anything like any. I don't think they showed up like some of the other teams did this week. And I think, I mean, Pep Guardiola looked like he's about to cry on the sideline.
Well, I think it was pretty interesting how Mendy and Danilo were playing more like wingers than fullbacks, that they were pressing up. And the two Silvas played fantastically together after, you know, up until they shot that goal, Bournemouth, they weren't doing that formation at all. And then you just saw the entire back line running forward, but they were playing. If you looked at, especially Mendy, he was running up and down the pitch, playing both sides, getting back, you know, to cover it after the, you know, after the goals. I thought the fullbacks were doing an amazing job for Man City.
Yeah, they're always going to play like that, though.
Yeah.
That's Pep's style. They play way more offense than defense, which is why Pep's team got caught so much last season.
And for somebody that doesn't watch Man City a lot, it is a confusing team to watch from a name perspective. You have two Silvas, you have Otamendi and Mendy. It's a lot to keep track of when you're sitting there listening to the commentators.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
It's all part of Pep's plan.
Yeah, you know, Bournemouth hit the post too, Ken, and they were almost up 2-0, I believe. I believe that post shot was when it was 1-0.
I know what you're talking about, but I don't know when it was. I don't know what the score was at the time. And yeah, I'm not saying that Bournemouth didn't have their chances. I'm just saying that Bournemouth had the type of chances that, you know, a good, solid top club allows for at certain points. When you're down 1-0, something's going to crack because inevitably, like Tyler's speaking to right now, you're going to pour some players forward because you have no choice when you're away. These clubs are putting, you know, 10, 11, they'd put 12 guys in their box if they could and get away with it just to keep you from scoring. So I just think that, you know, was the celebration at the end? I mean, when they inevitably did score that second goal, by Pep, was it a little bit overkill? Yeah, probably. But I mean, the way that game was going, it was looking like a 1-1 draw. And with the way they were playing, you know, your point, Bournemouth could have caught them on a counter at any time.
Yeah, and had a couple chances to do that. I guess if we're talking about the last 20 or so minutes, Aguero comes on, City continues to pour men forward, and Bournemouth does the thing, which is just drop back into a hole and hope that you can get hope you can get the draw. I mean, I thought that City looked like they were going to get a draw. And the only reason they didn't get a draw is because there was 5 minutes of extra time added on to a 1-1 game. And then they added on 2 extra minutes after that. They scored in the 97th minute. That's ridiculous.
Well, in the 5 minutes, I'm not defending City. I can't stand City just as much as the next guy who can't stand City. But in that, that was arguably, that 5 minutes was the most exciting 5 minutes of the entire game. I mean, there were several yellow cards brandished out. The referee, I mean, he had everything to do. It was back and forth. Bournemouth probably had more chances in that last 5 minutes than they did the entire game.
Yeah.
So with all the stoppages in stoppage time, I think it was justified to keep it going. What I think is more ridiculous than your claim of the additional 2 minutes on top of the five, because let's not forget, gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, it is a minimum of 5 minutes or a minimum of two. There's going to be other things that happen. I mean, I understand that 2 minutes is a long time.
They had an injury and a taking off during that stoppage time, which, you know, added.
Well,
to
yeah, what I'm getting to is when Sterling scores that. Well, let's go in the 92nd minute, 2 minutes in to it. Sterling gets a yellow card for, you know, a late tackle. Then he scores the goal in the 97th minute. And like 45 seconds later, the referee decides to give him a second yellow for celebrating a goal. And just like the commentator said after the game, he's not the only player to have done that this weekend, but he is the only player to get kicked off to get a second yellow. So I think the referees, you know, to me, I got a little bit of an issue with the referees so far this season. And this is just another check mark in the issue column for Ken. Let the guy celebrate the goal. I mean, come on. You scored the second goal, game winner, in the 97th minute. Give the guy a second. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's getting to the point now where, like, you got to score a goal and almost stand up straight and say thank you.
Yeah,
you're
I actually
welcome.
Agree.
I scored that goal.
I actually agree with that. I thought it was a super soft yellow, really rough on Raheem Sterling. All he did was run over to the away crowd that I saw. I didn't see him do anything else, and I see those kind of celebrations all the time.
Right, and nothing happens.
Yeah, I don't think that was a second yellow at all. I think that was way overkill, and the ref was just – he gave out 9 yellow cards in the game. I think he was just used to going to his pocket.
Maybe. I mean, and then he forgot he had it because it took him about – I'm not kidding, like 45 seconds to realize, oh, you know what? I should give Sterling a yellow card for that. Let's not kick off yet. Let me kick this guy off for scoring that goal. That really pissed me off.
That was absurd.
Well, I did think it was funny that Pep kept complaining about time wasting to the fact that they had to pull another ref over to get him to calm down, and then all the time wasting is what, and the extra time is what got him the win.
Well, and to that ironic point that you're making, he argues about the amount of extra time in England every week.
Yeah, he does. Absolutely.
But, you know, it is what it is. 2-1, I think more disruptive to the weekend than that win was. Everyone's going to have – there's going to be – like Tom's got an issue with the amount of time. I have an issue with the second yellow being thrown up for a simple goal celebration. I mean, come on. It's ridiculous. Like, to me, that referee, like, just the way these players are getting, like, suspended for a couple of games, sometimes these referees need a break every once in a while. They get so close to the tree, they can't see the forest sometimes. And it's starting to ruin it. I mean, we'll get into it a little bit more as the weekend goes on, but these referees are really pissing me off this season so far.
Yeah, and I completely agree. Anyway, City escapes with a 2-1 win. Any way you want to look at it, they get 2 wins and a draw. And can you imagine the pressure they would have had if they had drawn this game? But they don't have that pressure because they get the eeky win. So they move on. They get
their
win.
That's what it's all about, getting the wins against teams you should get wins against.
Pep stops sweating a little bit. It is interesting to see a completely different body language from Pep in the Prem than there was in him in Bayern, where he's lounging on his seat.
Well, because there's work to be done here.
Yeah, now he's up. He's up and he's complaining and he's in the refs' faces because these games are hard, Ken.
Hey, I like it. I like any manager right now who comes out looking to win every single game.
Yep, and City gets their win. So moving on to the next game, Watford versus Brighton at Watford. Not too much to talk about in this one as it was a 0-0 draw. Brighton with a slight edge, but another red card here with a terrible challenge. We can talk about that, Ken.
I didn't see it. I saw the highlight of it, so I don't know what the buildup was to it. The highlight did show a pretty reckless challenge.
Amazing.
Luckily for Watford, I mean, that was an early red card too. So they play another, 65 minutes. Man down. They're lucky to get out of there with the draw. The bigger story, I think, Brighton. 3 weeks in, no losses.
Yeah. Brighton gets their point and heading towards the 40-point mark. Maybe they will stay up after all. I still think it's going to be a difficult climb for them. But, they get the point. There's not much else to say around this game, Ken, unless you want to add anything else.
No, like I said, I only saw the highlights.
All right. Well, the Huddersfield Town Southampton game, another boring 0-0 draw. Huddersfield actually took it to Southampton. Southampton not looking good early.
No, they aren't. Southampton to me is always a very inconsistent club. I mean, they'll be consistent enough to get where they always get, which is, plus or minus 9 or 10.
Yeah.
And that's just what you get with Southampton. I think that the new boy clubs, with the exception of Newcastle, they came to play.
Yeah. They've showed up early, and at least not to be pushovers. Nobody's getting steamrolled yet, so they got to keep their momentum going and keep it interesting. But definitely a testament, again, to the difficulty of the league. I don't think in Germany or Spain you got their newly promoted teams putting up fights against teams that are previously in the top 10.
Mm-hmm. No, it's definitely good. It's exciting to watch, but it's the Prem. All games are hard.
Yeah, babe. So moving on, Crystal Palace takes another loss, this time to Swansea City. I'll start this off by saying that going into this game, Swansea City had zero shots on target for the season, and they're playing Crystal Palace at Palace.
Yeah, well, in this game, they got three. Scored two of them. Made the most of it. I like any club that takes chances on Americans, so Swansea will always have a special place in my heart.
That's right, when they had Bob Bradley as their manager briefly. That's true, I would agree with that. I have a little soft spot for him for allowing Bob to come in and give an American a chance. So, yeah, but Crystal Palace is struggling.
Yeah, sorry, De Boer. You might not make it past the first quarter of the season.
Yeah, he's got to be leading the sack race. He really laid into his team after the game, basically called them cowards, said they weren't brave enough. They had plenty of shots, but only three on target. I don't know, De Boer. I think that's your team, pal. And I think if you're losing to Swansea, a team that doesn't have a shot all season, you need to look within, man.
Exactly. Like, change your philosophy. Change the tactic. Do something. I mean, you're not coming. This isn't a newly promoted team. I mean, you got players that know what it's like to be here. Can we make the most of the possession that we're getting in the final third? They've got a basic midfield problem, though. They can't even get the ball into the final third long enough to hold on to possession and actually make a chance to take a shot. So they got a lot of work to do, and it might be more than De Boer that is the issue, but he's going to be the person in front of that line when the hammer falls.
Hey, their manager from last season, Big Sam, still floating out there, isn't he, Ken?
Come back.
I think he is.
Beg him to come back. He might have to go to West Ham. So.
Yeah, I mean, that takes us into the next game. Newcastle United at home finally gets their win. Smacks a round of a skidding West Ham. West Ham, again, can't put it together. They lose 3-0 to Newcastle, and a game that I think they had to at least show up for, and to get smacked 3-0 is an embarrassment.
Well, when you have the ball for over 60% of the possession, and you do exactly nothing with it, you never look like scoring. There's an issue. And I don't know what Bilic is doing, but, dude, you say De Boer's leading the race. This guy is tugging at his shoestrings. He's trying to get ahead of him.
Yeah, because the expectations were very high with them spending all that money, with West Ham spending all that money. Joe Hart looks lost, amount of goals he's allowed on shots is just astronomical.
He looks terrible. Like, he looks like a fish out of water. Like, The big joke is West Ham right now on bringing Hart back and, you know, seemingly taking the bait on bringing Chicharito back too, because that guy's a clown as well. He's not doing anything. I mean, he scored two goals, but they were trash goals, and that's what he's going to do. And I'm not discounting the goals. I'm discounting the fact that they weren't goals that anyone could have missed. You know, anyone was putting those away. They were inside the six and they were deflected, pushed back in from the keeper, whatnot, and he just pushes them in the net. I mean, he's not doing enough to warrant, you know, all the hoopla of him coming back into the league. Like, there were several clubs around Europe looking for Chicharito, and he's showing nothing.
Yeah, I think the problem with him is that he doesn't help you in the run-up. So he doesn't help you in build-up play. He will score goals if you give him opportunities. But the problem is, if you don't have a good build-up, you're not going to have any opportunities. And if you can't get the ball and generate a decent attack, you're going to get smacked around. And that's what I've seen happen so far, is they have West Ham has a guy sitting up top waiting for someone to feed him a ball, but he's not helping in the run of play.
Right, he's just standing there. It's annoying to watch them. And then West Ham is made to play the ball around midfield between their midfield and defenders until one of these strikers decides to move, and they've all but shown their cards and they're not doing anything. They don't want to score a goal. They don't care to score a goal. They're willing to just let Joe Hart just, you know, take the sword for this one, fall on the knife. And he's doing that right now, because you can't help but not blame Joe Hart a lot for this, because you should not be getting scored on this much, this early. Yeah. Someone's got 10 goals on him. I think he does have 10 goals on him.
I think he has 10 goals on him,
four,
too.
4, 7, 10. 4, 3, and 3. Yeah. Mm-hmm. 10 in 3 games. Bro, come on. It's not all the defense's fault. There's been a couple shots that have come in on him that he should have definitely blocked.
Yeah, at least, I mean, percentage-wise, with this many shots coming in, you should be blocking a certain percentage of them if you're worth any salt at all, and he's just getting owned.
Yeah, he is. We've beat Joe Hart up enough, but
yeah, but
this was a good win for Newcastle. They needed it.
Moving on to the 12:30 match in the U.S., that would be Manchester United versus Leicester City. And even though the game went to halftime 0-0, Ken, I thought United was in nice. They were in control of this match, and they were looking pretty good.
They looked fantastic. Pains me to say it, but they looked great again. Yes, and even at 0-0, they never looked like they were in any trouble of ever losing this game. And they're another team, like, they can go into the 70-80th minute 0-0, and as a fan or someone watching the game, you can assume that they're going to win that game by more than one goal, especially the way they're playing right now.
Yep, they are steamrolling teams. It's nice to see. I'm trying not to get too far ahead of myself, but to see Pogba, the way he's playing right now, Mata, Mkhitaryan. I mean, it's hard for anybody off there. They have Herrera sitting on their bench right now. It's hard for anybody to get a game. Even Rashford got moved to the bench in favor of Martial, who had scored in two substitute appearances. They gave him his chance to start. He played pretty well.
And then Rashford comes in and scores a goal.
Yeah, Rashford comes in unmarked on a corner kick and scores. Mkhitaryan gets another assist. United right now is just flying.
Well, yeah, and both of those goals were, to me, pretty suspect. And this will be the first time I bring up my issue with referees. Marouane Fellaini was 100% offsides. Did it matter? No. They were going to win the game 1-0 anyway, because Man United has done what no one else so far this season has been able to do, and that is, with superb midfield and defensive play, stop Leicester from being able to counter. They didn't have one chance to. Well, that's not true. They had one at the end when it was 2-0. Man United had gone to sleep, and it was kind of a counter. And then De Gea makes a ridiculous foot save. It was crazy. It was a good save.
Yeah, I mean, I think seeing the way their midfield's playing right now, you have to be really encouraged if you're a United fan.
I felt like watching
really
the game.
Scared if I'm not.
I got to say, Pogba was taking way too many shots that he really had no business taking. He was taking shots from way out that had no chance of going in. And I got to say, Leicester City's goalkeeper should have been the the man of the match. He blocked you saw him block the PK, and then he also got his hands on the return shot that came off of the blocked PK. I mean, he was, in my opinion, he was amazing. And the fact that only two goals went in when they had so many shots on goal was crazy. They were raining down missiles on him, and he was blocking them.
Schmeichel's got a lot to prove when he comes to Old Trafford.
I thought Schmeichel played well. I was going to try to brush right past the penalty kick missed by Lukaku, but I didn't think Lukaku took a bad penalty like we've seen earlier this year or in the last few years. I didn't think he dinked it or anything. He hit it hard, but you could argue that Kasper Schmeichel came off his line early. He was about 4 feet off the line when he saved it.
You can, but you can also argue that, you know, you're going to say it's not a bad PK, but a PK that doesn't go in the net is a bad PK. I don't care how you slice it.
I don't feel
it.
He
took it too close to the keeper. It was too close to Schmeichel. It was too close, and it was waist height.
Like, the keeper dove.
It wasn't great.
The keeper on a perfect scale, you're not going to score every penalty kick.
But what I'm saying is it wasn't great. Well, when you're Lukaku, you're not going to miss 3 out of 6. That's what his record is so far right now. His last 6 PKs, he's missed 3 of them, so he should stay off of that duty.
I didn't see the other ones, but I can tell you that was not a bad penalty kick. That penalty kick was fine.
Well, you can tell me whatever you want, but just because
I'm going to tell you that
doesn't mean that it's a fact.
I've seen bad penalty kicks. We've seen a lot of bad penalty kicks, and it was more of a good save than a bad penalty kick. He just dove the right way. He was off his line early, and he saved the ball. I mean, he's...
Agree to disagree.
You got these goalies he's a big dude, and he can save almost both sides of the goal if he gets a good jump on it, and that's what he did. He got a good jump.
Hey, look, all I'm saying is, even in your little high that you're on Man United right now, you have to take accountability. It was in a perfect game, that was the one notch. It was a bad PK, low and to the corner. And that would have gone in. It didn't matter how far he was off the line. When you kick it waist height that close to the keeper, it's going to get blocked. I mean, ask Lukaku. He doesn't make many PKs lately.
Well, the good news is that, unlike last year, that didn't end up being the story of the match, which it would have been last year. Zlatan missed a PK, and we're guaranteed to draw the game or lose it. So I think that...
figured it out this season. I mean, the substitutions are right. The lineups are right. He's making the right adjustments game in, game to game. I don't like to say it, but a lot of people have City like favored to win. All the commentators do, and they still do. But unless something drastically changes, and again, I mean, this is so far Leicester's been the biggest test for Man United. Rolled right through it.
Yeah, I agree, and I think they're playing well. They have depth on the bench right now. They don't have the injury crisis that can happen. It is very, very early, but going into the international break here, United looks like they would have to be the title contenders, and they are sitting top of the table.
Yeah, I mean, there's no one else that can touch them right now. I mean, that we've seen. But it's a long season. There's 35 games left, so...
Yeah, and even though United hasn't allowed a goal yet, Jose said it best. He said we were 3-0 last year, and we ended up in 6th, so that can still happen. Trying not to get too far ahead of myself here. We play Stoke next, and it's on the other side of the break. It's at Stoke City, and as Arsenal knows, that can be a difficult test.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm floating as high as I can be in the third week of the season as a Manchester United fan. Pogba's been on fire. And in response to Tyler's idea of him shooting too much, I mean, he did take a lot of shots, but he can shoot long, and most of those shots were within 2 or 3 feet of the target. I mean, he did take about 6 in the first 30 minutes, which is a little obnoxious, but it's not like he was way off. He is somebody who can take those shots. Ken.
No, yeah, I mean, I'm not arguing you. I mean, I didn't think that that was a question. I'm sorry. I thought it was more of a statement.
I was just trying to get your side of it.
No, he should. My thing would be to anyone who is going to say anything about Pogba shootings, nobody questions the $100 million man. Especially someone who's had a career like him, and he has been known to score some screamers from 20, 30 yards out. Again, I agree with you, though. You shouldn't be taking that many. You have players on the pitch with you that are paid to score goals. You're paid to set up goals. So set up Lukaku. Lukaku is a proven goal scorer. He's a machine in front of the net. So I see what Tyler's saying. Like, it could have been done and dusted way sooner if Pogba wasn't on his shooting game today. So I see both sides. Yeah.
But honestly, it takes a Fellaini to make the match 2-0. You know, Fellaini.
An offside Fellaini.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty tight, Ken. I don't think he was offside.
It's
always going to
be tight for you because it's a Man U call. You goon. Wait, come on. He was offside. Everyone this season, if you're in line with the defender, the referees have shown their cards. You're offside. Either call it right or call it wrong consistently. Everyone needs to get on page. The same page, Mr. Referees. You can't pick and choose how you're going to call it game to game. There was another game. Tyler will know more about this because he probably paid way more attention to the Chelsea game than I did. But I'm pretty sure they called... No, in the beginning of the game, they called Mata offside, and he was on.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Absolutely.
And he was on. It wasn't Chelsea. I'm thinking of Mata of yesteryear. It was Mata completely onside, scores a goal, and they call it back for offside.
Yeah, great
finish.
They
don't know what the rule is. I'm just simply saying they need to take a refresher class on what offside is. They're missing it this season, and it's really starting to frustrate me.
Well, it only would have made it worse. United sits at the top of the table. They've scored 10 goals and allowed 0. But sitting right underneath them would be Chelsea, although they're in 6th place. They're in 6th place, but they have 6 points. And they're looking better. This is a good win for them. I thought Chelsea, Everton at Stamford Bridge. Chelsea really took it to Everton.
Yeah. They definitely did. Tyler watched more, I'm sure. I'm sure he has a lot more to say. So let's let him get his hot air balloon as high in the sky as possible before we start reeling him back down to earth a little bit with some real life expectations.
Okay, so first, I think this is officially the match where you guys need to stop hating on Morata. He is fantastic. He set up Fabregas with that give and go. He did a huge header, looked fantastic after so many fouls. And I got to say, even though you're hating on the refs played advantage perfectly for Morata to do that header. There were about 3 fouls going down, and they let the play build, got the header. He's now sitting at 2 goals, 2 assists in his first 3 matches. Couldn't be happier with Morata. And you guys just have to get on his train because it's pulling out of the station and it's going to roll right over Man U back to the top. And then Courtois.
It's argued that he's not doing what he was paid to do. So we'll get into that later.
I just want to say Courtois could have sat on the bench. There was no need for a keeper. Everton could do nothing. They got one shot, I think, in the 80th minute that even threatened to go near the goal. And besides that, our back line just took it to him. Brought the ball back up front. It wasn't counterattacking. It was just attacking football by Chelsea. They look like they did at the end of last season. Can't be happier. Now you guys can go ahead and pop my balloon if you want to.
All right, I'll start. Morata. Yes, he has a goal and assist in 2 Premier League starts, which I'll give that to you. I read a little thing under the screen today. It said no one's ever done that in the history of the Prem. So good for him. But he is not showing that he was worth anywhere near 70 million yet. Yeah, if you're going to lose your mind that he scores a goal off of his head, he's finally maybe now starting to show a little inkling of what he was at Real Madrid. But to me, he's still showing exactly why Real Madrid was so amped to get rid of him, especially at 70 million. Also, I mean, I don't know. And Everton just wasn't there today. I mean, they looked terrible. Wayne Rooney was walking the entire game. Like, if anything, I would have taken Rooney off in the 10th minute. Because if I one more game, if I'm Koeman and I see him lose the ball and immediately stop in his tracks, he is off. He's off the pitch. I don't care if it's the first 27 seconds of the game. I'm taking him off because right now he's kind of showing why he's not at Man U anymore and why it's going to be difficult for him to get an England call up again before he hangs his boots up. It was just frustrating. I felt like you're a Chelsea fan, so you're going to find that the 2-0 is the best part of the game. But I think the biggest takeaway is just how terrible Everton as a whole looked, and even worse, how bad Wayne Rooney looked.
He spent more time arguing with the refs than playing the game. I mean, he was in their face every time the clock stopped.
Yeah, that was last year's Wayne Rooney for sure. He was way off the pace. And I think, back to your point about Morata, you know, he did score and he did set up a goal, and it's really hard to criticize a forward for that, but I think we can do it anyways, Ken. I actually think that he still isn't playing like a number nine they need him to play like, and if Everton puts up any resistance, then he doesn't score that goal. You can always say that.
He's not doing what he was brought in and paid to do yet. So until he is and starts doing that, I refuse to give this guy any type of credit. I mean, he's a striker. If you're not scoring goals, then get off the pitch. You need to score a goal. I mean, you're the only striker up there. They don't play more than one striker at a time, so it's got to go to him, of course. I mean, yeah, he has to be in the position to do so, and he has to be in the position to make that pass and have, you know, the on-pitch intelligence to know that Fab is going to be where Fab is going to be when he does that, the 1-2. But still, that's something that a basic professional footballer is going to be able to do. And to say that now we got to jump on this train that has Morata typed out on the side of it is absurd to me. Train.
Yeah, I still say he has 2 goals and 2 assists, and there are some forwards that don't. So I won't pick on him too much, but I will say I'm not overly impressed by it. I think he scored based on a Chelsea dominating performance over a club that did not show up in Everton.
Yeah, I mean, this was just one of those Chelsea at home. They just tied up their boots real tight today, and they said, you're not going to beat us. And it could be that just Chelsea played that well that Everton couldn't do anything, and they were just demoralized by the whole thing. But they looked bad. They couldn't make a pass. They weren't hustling. They weren't trying to get the ball back when they lost it. They looked terrible today. Koeman needs to really, really reevaluate before next weekend. Him and another team that is really close to my heart need to do that.
Well, so I will just say 11 more games until they hit their 13 game win streak, I predicted. So
I hate you, Tyler. Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. I think as soon as Chelsea plays,
probably lose the next time they go out, Leicester away. Well, that seems like a good time to lose to me.
Yeah, I think we'll see what happens when these big teams roll in. They did beat Tottenham away, so that was a nice win. But this Everton win should have been sweeter than it was. But Everton was just rotten.
Oh, I'm not going to take anything away from the 2-0 win. You take it to the bank. It's 3 points. It's just Everton looked more talking points to how terrible Everton looked than Chelsea winning 2-0. Because at the end of the day, everyone expects Chelsea to win this game.
Yeah,
maybe not as handedly as they did, but you're expected to win when you're at Chelsea at home to Everton.
Yeah. Do you think that's crisis averted for Chelsea, Ken, or you still think they still need to make a move in the last few days here?
I think it will be enough to kind of simmer down Conte's relentless complaining about needing to bring in a player. But to all of the non-Chelsea fans, that will be music to my ears. Like, I was hoping that they would win like this, because the last thing we need is them going out splashing a bunch of cash in the next couple of days and bringing in, you know, some player that turns out to be some world beater. I'd rather them just go home, ride it out till next week, go into the international break, and then figure it out with the players they have.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with that. I mean, there's going to be a lot of movement. We've already seen some panic buys. I think that, side note, I think that Dembele buy by Barcelona had panic written all over it, Ken. 100 million.
100 with, million? Give me a break.
With 40 million in add-ons, I think they paid double there, and I think that Dembele is a good young player, but he is not good. He's not Neymar good, and nor is he 100 million good. I would rather have Mbappe than him, and it's not close.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, who cares? They play in Spain, and we play in England. So buy whoever you want. It didn't cost them a thing, actually. They got that player for free, so.
I guess so. I just think that's very poor money spent. And I think Barcelona, you know, he might be good in a couple of years, but he's never going to have the impact of a 100 million pound player. And you put all this pressure on him, too. So, yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens with the window. We got a couple days left here. Chelsea's They want to buy more players. You could argue that United would like to pick up another player, although they look good right now. I mean, it's easy to say when you're rolling. But a team that is not supposed to be shopping, but maybe should be, Ken, Arsenal. We get to the Liverpool-Arsenal game at Anfield. And honestly, Ken, it was just bad from the beginning.
Yeah. I'm depressed, honestly. It hurt my stomach watching the game. I'm sure you guys have all these little jabs you're going to hurl my way over this. I will assure you there's nothing you can say to, you know, make the depression and the thought of how terrible we looked any worse. But I will, of course, not get in your way for doing so. But there are a couple of things that are just fundamentally wrong right now with Arsenal. And it's not just because they lost today 4-0. Sometimes, you know, you're going to lose. You're going to come up against a club that just, you know, everything aligned and you weren't going to beat them. But we never, from the beginning, looked like we had a chance. And I have a question. I'm questioning right now Arsene Wenger's team selection. It's really frustrating to know that basically everyone is back. Everyone's available. And we have Kolasinac on the bench. Mustafi on the bench. Now, Mustafi has a little parenthesis around him because he supposedly has asked to leave and he's on his way to Inter Milan. He's agreed a loan deal, I'm reading from reports, but Arsenal doesn't want to let him go unless there's a permanent deal involved. He just came here a year ago.
Yeah, why is he leaving? I don't understand that.
Like, I have no idea. Wenger won't say anything. But I'm annoyed that he's leaving. And based on what Wenger's saying, which is nothing, it's definitely true that he's leaving. He didn't play today. Yeah. And I have nothing against Holding or Nacho, but I got a big problem when you're going to play a back three that consists of Koscielny, Nacho, and Holding. When you have the likes of Mustafi, who's still in your club, make him play. And Kolasinac, who we've been touting as like this machine coming in, and now we're not using them. Also, we start Sanchez. Sanchez is back. Thank you. I was excited to see him back. I was like, okay, perfect. If he didn't play today, then he was on his way out. Now, I think because he did play today and we got smacked 4-0, that he's going to be on his way out to anywhere. But we have also, why did we buy Lacazette? Do we not buy was Lacazette a replacement for Sanchez? Because why are we not starting Sanchez or Lacazette? Why are we starting Danny Welbeck? What is going on with that team selection? It just seems like, again, Arsene doesn't want to win. He doesn't have it in him to win. He doesn't care to win. He's so stubborn right now. I'm going to win playing the way that I thought that I've drummed up the way that's the perfect way to win. And if I don't, forget it, we'll lose. It's really, really starting to really, really get to me.
Did you see Sanchez in the first 5 minutes throwing his hands up? It seemed to me like he was saying, no. I'm the only person that's on the pitch that gives a damn right now. And nobody else was doing anything on Arsenal besides him.
That's Tyler Alfelt. That is the truth. And that is why we need a player like him. But unfortunately, one Sanchez does not make up for a manager that does not care about the result. And I know that's harsh words going to an Arsene Wenger, but I really, in my heart of hearts, believe that this is the truth now. He doesn't care. He has to win the way that Wenger has decided the only way to win is. And unfortunately, you're never going to be in contention for a title, and you're never going to be in contention to sign big name players. In fact, it's going to be the exact opposite. All big name players you have are going to be on the way out. Mustafi, who is all but a ghost player that does his job, has gone to Wenger, said, I want to leave to go to Italy. What is happening? And then you have Bellerin. What is Bellerin doing? He is so bad this season. He was the worst of all Arsenal players today on the pitch. He was the worst.
I agree. I think
I can't even handle it. I have no words yet. I can't stop talking about the problem I have with this loss.
Well, you had 8 shots, 0 on goal. Bellerin was an absolute liability. He got the ball picked off and he got countered on time after time, including one time where he was the last man on a corner kick. On a
corner kick that we had our corner kick and we get scored on within 7 seconds of taking the corner.
Yep, ball came out to him. He went to try to dribble it around or basically play it around. And the ball was intercepted and driven 70 yards the other way on a fast break. It was embarrassing from Bellerin today. That being said, yes, Arsenal played extremely poorly and looked like they had no business in this game. I think, honestly, from a semi-neutral standpoint, Arsenal does this every once in a while in big games. They get smashed and they don't show up for the match. In the same way, they show up for big games sometimes and they'll smash the other team 3-0. They'll beat Manchester United 3-0, or they'll beat Chelsea or Tottenham. They can do that. This is one of their games where they don't show up, and they got drubbed by frankly a Liverpool team that was very up for it.
Right, but Liverpool on paper is not better than Arsenal. Their squad is not better. Their depth is not better. The difference that they have is a manager that wants to win. I cannot press this issue enough. I fully believe now, after seeing today, Wenger sitting in his seat the entire time, he doesn't care anymore.
Just to go back to what you said, and Ken, I want your take on this too. I feel like in the last, I don't know, Ken, when did we start watching Arsenal together? 9 years ago, I guess, is when I started watching them. They have the potential to look like a Barcelona in their league when they play people that don't challenge them. But it seems like every time they go up against a team that puts a challenge up against them, whether it's a top tier team or a middle of the road team, they wilt. It's more the amount of effort that's put against them that determines how they play.
The problem with Arsenal is, and they've done this for a very long time, at least 10 years, they play to the level of their opposition. Meaning, if they're playing a team that is in 19th place in the 37th week, already relegated, they will play to their level. They won't go in and smash them the way that any other team would, because of the way that Wenger, it's his philosophy, and it's very frustrating. We must pass the ball into the net. We must take 37 passes before we get into the box. When we get into the box, we must take 11 more passes. I'm frustrated. I've told you guys plenty of times, I'll hold the in Wenger we trust. I don't know. I don't have a solution. I can't throw a name out that I would want to come in immediately and replace him. But right now, today, I would take almost anyone, because he didn't even show any care about it. And the difference is, it's like, I don't know if you guys watch the post, like the, what do they call that? Premier League Live. Mm-hmm. I don't know the guy's name, but the white guy on there.
The American?
The American guy, yes.
Kyle Martino.
He said it was perfect. Any other team that gets beat 4-0 like this, it will be a galvanizing thing to their season and it will push them in a positive direction. Arsene Wenger and Arsenal will do nothing. They'll come back out in 2 weeks after the break and they will play exactly the same way. And the only reason I know this is because it happens every year. It's not like Wenger went into the locker room and started playing me. Did you watch his post match
Oh, I wanted to talk speech? To you about that. Yeah.
Give me a break. All you do is deflect. Just say, why does Aaron Ramsey have to come out and tell the truth? You're supposed to do that, Wenger. You take the blame. It's your fault. You fielded the 11 players. You fielded the scheme that we were playing, and you put the philosophy in that entire week and said, this is how I feel we're going to beat Liverpool. And when we went down 2-0, you didn't change a thing.
Did you hear?
You subbed Ramsey for Coughlin, another defensive midfielder. Were you holding it up? Were you just trying to make it 2-0 at that point? Give me a break, man.
How he said that he thought that you guys dominated the second half?
Yes. Yes.
All he needed to do was let you guys have the ball so they could blitz on the counter. That's what they did the entire second half, is just counterattack.
All Wenger needed to do was get on that microphone and answer every single question with, I'm sorry to the fans. both abroad and those who traveled. I'll do my best to make sure it never happens again. I am not supporting Arsene Wenger until he comes out and apologizes to us. Why does Aaron Ramsey have to do that? I'm frustrated. Yeah, I'm above and beyond frustrated with Arsenal right now.
Well, we're going a little long on this one. I know it was it's an important game in Ken's heart. I do want to get to the other side of it, which is Liverpool. I think Liverpool played as well as Arsenal did poorly. I think Sadio Mane is in the running for player of the year right now.
Out of his skin playing. Yeah, he is so good.
And I think Salah has been just almost equally as dangerous.
It's like a fantastic game. Like, he disappeared for a while, yeah. And now he's back. And like Klopp has just managed to get the best out of him, and that's what a good manager does. Good on you, Klopp.
Firmino too is in form. Yep. Also, Firmino's goal celebrations are really stupid, and I'm already tired of him. But
it's like when Peter Cech used to be the robot. Good. Remember that?
Oh, I love that.
Oh, give me a break. That lanky, doofy.
Oh, come on.
You mean a robot? He's
6'5".
Get out of here.
He's 6'5".
Being 6'5" doesn't give you an excuse to look like a buffoon.
He also scored today, yeah, Ken. We'll move into that. I didn't even realize he was still starting or even playing a role.
He came in on as a sub, I think. But yeah, he scored a goal today.
But we'll finish off the Liverpool-Arsenal game. Liverpool played really, really well. And when they play like that, there's not many teams that can hang with them. Salah and Mane are running the show right now. And it was a good result for them. As bad as it is for Arsenal, who now will go into the break, two losses in a row. That Stoke loss looms so massive. And, you know, this is the kind of thing that... You know, guys like Ken Lee, who build a lot of optimism up for the Arsenal fan base. When these kind of things happen, you get right back down to that spot where you were at the end of the year last year, because it was an absolute drubbing, and it looked exactly the abject performance that made Arsenal so hard to watch last year towards the end.
It's not even so much the 4-0. It's honestly, when it was 4-0, Liverpool was still attacking. We still couldn't get the ball. It was so annoying. Like, I just need to forget that today's match ever happened, because it's disgusting. It's unacceptable. And
you're in for two more years of these matches, man.
And the manager, Arsene Wenger, is taking no accountability for it. And I know he doesn't hold players accountable, because nothing changes ever. It's so annoying.
Real quick, I was watching after the match. Henri, he said that he turned his chair around and couldn't watch anymore, and he was going to leave the match, but he decided just to turn his chair around and not watch anymore. And he said that
he also came out and said, "Why would Sanchez stay now?"
Yep. Sanchez, Chamberlain, they're gone.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens with that. Liverpool takes it to Arsenal 4-0. Moving on to the next game, Peter Crouch returns and scores a goal at West Brom to tie it up in the 77th minute. The man's still alive, guys. Stoke City takes their tough point in the battle of the 1-1 draw teams, West Brom versus Stoke City. Anything really you guys want to add to that game other than Peter Crouch scored?
Not much. I mean, it's Peter Crouch. He's still scoring. You didn't even think the man was still around. He's still scoring.
I didn't.
I think they said something like it was his 50th header.
He's awesome. As awesome as he can be. Well, moving on to a former Peter Crouch team, Tottenham Hotspur versus Burnley, and Spurs playing at Wembley, Ken. And they went into halftime 0-0, but they were dominating the game in terms of possession and shots. They did manage to get a goal in the 49th minute with Dele Alli scoring again, because Harry Kane doesn't like scoring in August, Ken.
He looked bad. Yeah, it looked like Harry Kane had a lot of shots, and a lot of shots that Harry Kane should be putting away. It looked like if he were to have had a gun to his face today, he still would not have been able to find the back of the net. He had a one-on-one. He was one-on-one with the keeper, and he kicked it right at him.
I think
it's whatever. I mean, it's that stadium. I'm telling you.
I don't believe in that kind of thing, Ken, but definitely a really bad draw. As
it would be anywhere.
Burnley would come back here. Tottenham just had to find somebody, and frankly, it had to be Harry Kane. Someone had to take this game and score that second goal. Last year, they were so good at home and so good against bottom 10 teams, and to not get that point here, especially after that tough, or to not get the 3 points here, especially after that tough loss last week to Chelsea, they really needed the 3 points going into the break, and they ended up basically crapping the game away in the 92nd minute from Chris Wood.
Newly arrived from a one Leeds United.
I mean, how do you fall asleep in the 92nd minute? I talked to Tottenham fans. They were absolutely furious with this game, but they didn't think that Tottenham looked like scoring again, and that was the bottom line to me in this game. Tottenham had to score twice to win this game.
I think that Tottenham, playing all their home games at Wembley, a draw is what they can expect. That should be their biggest hope. It's not they can't play there. They can't, and they need the season to be over with.
I don't think that's the case. I think that there's when it comes to stadiums, I just don't think there's that much in it.
It's not the stadium, Tom. They could be playing in a park. It's the fact that they're not playing in their usual comforted zone of White Hart Lane. I think that it definitely has something to do with it. It's like a lot of clubs have a big issue, like when they have to use a different stadium for all their home games. It's just like it's a comfort thing. It's like little kids need like a little blankie or a duck to sleep at night. Like, can they not sleep without the blankie or the duck? Of course they could sleep with it, but it's easier with it.
They need to play better. That's what needs to happen. They need Harry Kane to wake up, and they just need to be out of August, frankly.
At least when they come back, it'll be September. And I guess these Tottenham fans, based with you at the helm here, you're guaranteeing Kane's going to start scoring goals.
Yeah, I'd be willing to guarantee that. He's a good player. He's just off form right now, but that is a terrible loss to take. I know my brother was watching the game. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I keep saying that because it feels like a loss to them. My brother was texting me throughout the game, and the more and more expletives were arriving as they went from the 60th minute to the 70th minute to the 80th minute, and just basically the irresponsibility of the Tottenham squad. 28 shots, Ken. 5 on target, but definitely just a game that they have to score a second goal in, and they couldn't do it, and they paid for it. They absolutely paid for it. I don't think the park had much to do with that. But if that's the narrative that's going to play out right now, they have to be careful, because it can be the dominant narrative in their season if they can't get home results.
Exactly. And I personally think, based on their record at Wembley, it's going to be difficult for them. And so far, they've shown nothing different.
Yeah, well, we will see what happens with that. Hopefully, I just feel like that's such a weak narrative. That would be very pathetic if that became the headline of Tottenham's season, is the fact that they weren't at their home stadium and they end up finishing in a poor position as a result of not having the home advantage. But on the other side of it, they did play so well at home that I guess if you take you off a knife, if you're off a knife's edge just a little bit, you don't get all the results you need. So yeah, Tottenham has to be extremely disappointed going in. They're mid-table right now with a +1 goal differential. We're going to look at next week's games. It is the international break, so we have about 2 weeks off. This is usually a pretty miserable 2 weeks for us, Ken. The United States does play twice in qualifying games.
Costa Rica on the first.
Costa Rica at home and Honduras away on the 5th. The United States need to get results here. They will have their European players, so we can expect a full lineup. Pulisic is in form already for Dortmund, so it'd be good to see. We'll definitely break those games down and take a look at them after the results come in. But I need U.S. to have a nice break. And all the other internationals have their games to play. But the next games we'll be seeing, Stoke City, Manchester United at Stoke City. We know it's a banana peel waiting to happen. The game of the week, it looks like to me, Ken, you can agree or disagree, would be Manchester City at home against Liverpool.
Yeah.
That is a Saturday game. It is the early match.
7:30 a.m. Set your alarm clock, boys.
Or if you have a baby, or just wait till they wake up.
Yeah, you'll be up 2 hours before them anyway.
Arsenal plays Bournemouth, and it's an absolute must win at the Emirates.
Yeah, I would say so. At this point, I don't know what should happen if we don't get anything but a W out of that. I'd say if actually Bournemouth comes into town and they beat us, even if they just get lucky and beat us, maybe we just kidnap Howe and someone else takes Arsene Wenger away, and we take Howe on an interim basis for right now, because we need something different if we can't get a result at home against Bournemouth.
I would agree that would be very embarrassing. Leicester City at Leicester City playing Chelsea. That's a big match for Chelsea to show that they are improving. Tyler wants them to win their 13 games in a row. I don't see that happening, but here's your chance for number three, Tyler. Anything else you want to add to that besides Leicester City is a formidable opponent?
No, it's a foregone conclusion. Number three in the bank. Jesus. I'm writing checks on it already.
All right. Tottenham playing away at Everton. This game becomes massive for Tottenham as they are on the slide right now. They're not playing at Wembley, so maybe they'll get the result. But Everton needs a result as well after getting absolutely drubbed by Chelsea. So that'll be an interesting match. Southampton-Watford. Southampton needs to start scoring. Brighton versus West Brom at Brighton. That game is everything that you think it could be, which is not much.
Probably nothing.
And the Sunday matches are ugly, Ken. Burnley, Crystal Palace, and that's a game that Crystal Palace has to win.
Yeah, I would imagine. I think if they were to lose that game, you might start actually hearing some rumor mill about that manager being sacked.
Yeah, De Boer could be on the way out. And finally, Swansea City versus Newcastle. That finishes the Sunday game. Again, an ugly match. And then the Monday match is West Ham at home against Huddersfield. And West Ham has to win that one, Ken.
If West Ham lose that game, you might start seeing some rumor mill. How long is Bilic have left? I would imagine not long.
Yeah, so we got some action coming up. We do have a gap here. We'll figure out what we're going to do over the break and obviously keep the United States in our thoughts as we begin to play for qualification. We need to rebound a little bit here, and then we'll get back into the Prem. And, you know, we don't usually look at the table right now, but it looks pretty good to me. Man United in first. With 9 points.
I'm glad that you've decided that right now. The table looks good because your boys are up there. So you live the moment. Live this moment, sir.
I absolutely will after finishing in sixth last year. So that does it for me. I don't have anything else to add this week, Ken.
I got nothing.
Hopefully it'll be a better break for you, buddy. And Tyler, anything you want to add in your balloon?
Nope. No, the view's nice up here.
Tyler, Chelsea's in six.
Where?
You're
in six.
All right, guys. Well, I will see you guys next week. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and hope everyone has an awesome week.